All right, praise the Lord on this January the 23rd, 2022, Lord's Day, Sunday morning. And boy, I'm so glad to be in church today.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we've canceled two services already this year, and that's
right.
The most we've ever canceled, period. And I really regret canceling last Sunday's service because I'd invited a man to church, and he showed up. He called me and said, "Where's everybody at?" And, I really didn't think he would show up, and he may be here even today. His name's Richard Williams, and I do hope he comes today. And they came last Sunday, and I really regret. And I closed the services. This is a tough call. I felt like, you know, in the best interest of everybody with the weather conditions, and they were even getting worse.
Good morning, Joey.
But we're thankful that even though I felt like, you know, I'd done the right thing, I got down and out because of the decision I made last Sunday. And then Sister Bonnie sent me a card and got me going again, encouraged me, and I appreciate that. I need that. I thank y'all for the prayers. Thank you for the encouragement. I realized this morning I've been pastor here for over 3 years now. We're in our fourth year right now, and I praise God for that. Amen.
Amen.
And Eddie Wade, he don't fit everywhere, but I'll tell you right now, I fit good here. And one reason I fit good here is because it's real.
Yes.
And I don't like fake, I like real.
Yes, thank you.
And it is real here.
Yes, it is.
It's really a blessing to be here. It's really a blessing to watch God work. I've seen His hand here much since I've been here.
Yes.
I've seen Him save. I've seen Him bless. I've seen Him heal. I've seen Him do things that I want Him to continue to do.
Amen.
And that's why I say I praise God on this January the 23rd, 2022, Lord's Day, Sunday morning. We'll go to God in prayer.
Yes.
Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege to be in Your house today.
Woo!
Oh, what a privilege. Lord, thank You, Lord. Thank You. Oh, get honor here today. Get glory here today.
Yes,
Lord, I pray the hearts of Your children be encouraged today. I pray everybody, Lord, to have a heart, Lord, to get out and get to the house of God today. I pray, Lord, You'd set a table, Lord, that the hungry could be fed, that the thirsty could come and be satisfied. Lord, may the songs lift You up on high. Lord, may the preaching, I pray, be like a compass pointing towards You, Lord, as the only hope, Lord, for humanity.
Yes.
And Lord, we just want to ask Your blessing upon our Sunday school lesson this morning. Open Your words to us. Make Your words known to us. Lord, we desire, Lord, Your blessings.
Yes.
We hope to be a blessing.
Yes, Father.
In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
All right. We finished up Romans chapter 5. And we're getting into Romans chapter 6. And I do pray that you pay attention. This is a real important chapter. A lot of people get not really confused, but they get a little troubled about this chapter. This is one that you need to put a little thought to. The very first verse, Paul writing to the church in Rome, and he says here, "What shall we say then?" Now, our last chapter was about sin.
Yes.
The whole chapter 5 was dealing with sin. And, you know, I'm glad that, praise God, Jesus took care of that for us. I don't worry about sin, but Romans chapter 6 here is speaking to saved sinners. And it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Now that's two questions in one verse right there.
God forbid.
One of them, Paul, with the help of God, is expounding upon some muddy water,
yes,
some territory that I don't think everybody has got clear or got sorted out. And he kind of comments on it, verse 2. He says, "God forbid, How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, I've met some people that have told me that they don't sin. And I have to admit, I'm looking where they've been walking on the water. And, you know, I'm just thinking, what did I miss?
Yeah.
And I realize that down here there's a devil. I realize that down here we're tempted, we're tried. I realize down here we're tested. And you know what? We've got everything we need.
Amen.
And Paul is speaking about here just a little bit when he says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?
Right.
Let me put this in perspective. In Colossians chapter 2, it talks about a circumcision that's made without hand. And it's in verse 11. Says, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ.
Yeah.
Now, somebody can probably finish this verse right here. But God said, the soul that sinneth, it shall what?
Surely die.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So that problem there, God took care of with that circumcision.
Right.
And now every sin that a man commits, that a man commits, is against his body.
Right.
Now, old Brother Eddie, I was a drunk. And I'm glad I don't drink no more. Man, it's been 34 years since I've had anything in my hand other than picking up beer cans out of the parking lot, which I did before I got saved. I feel like, you know, I'm not too good to do that now, because I love the house of God. I love the one that gave himself for me, the one that forgave me, the one that saved me. If you see me with a beer can in my hand, it's because I picked it up where somebody threw it out.
Yes.
Not because I just got through drinking one. But, morning, Sister Sharon, praise the Lord. But anyway, I could have continued in drinking. And had I done it, I would have been sinning against my body. I want you to get this. So, sinning against my body will cause me to have, you know, he says, how shall we live any longer? That take some years off my life.
Yes, that's right.
I could have been a smoker. And you know what? Lord could have delivered. He delivered me out about everything I've asked Him to.
Yeah.
I mean, He delivered me out of cussing.
Yeah.
He delivered me out of drinking. I never did ever smoke, but if I did smoke, I would ask God to help me to quit.
That's right.
Because how shall we live any longer? I'm not saying smoking is a sin, but listen, you got to breathe. And this temple, this body, is the Lord's. And I'm going to speak a little bit more in depth about that here in a minute. But that sin against that body takes days and years off of your life.
Yes,
and let me go just a hair further here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul, well, let's go 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and we'll just stair step. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul is addressing immorality in a church. And he says in verse 1, it's reported commonly that there's fornication among you. He's talking to a church.
Yeah.
And such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles. He said, you're sinning more than sinners are.
Yeah.
I mean, the Gentiles, they wasn't quite on board.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them did get on board. That one should have his father's wife. Now this is, like I said, he's talking to the church. He's bringing something here. He's bringing it to light.
Yeah.
That one should have his father's church. Now he's been told this or he's seen it. And he says in verse 2, and you're not puffed up. Well, I'm sorry. He says, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that have done this deed might be taken away from among you. They don't even care about this boy. They're not even concerned about the outcome. Paul says in verse 3, for I barely as being absent in body, but present in spirit. Paul's in prison when he's writing this letter.
Yes, that's right.
He said, have judged already. as though I were present. He would address this personally if he'd been able to be there. Concerning him that have so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? He went on to say, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Now I'm going to read on down to verse number 11. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. He says, I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators. Now Paul, he can't be there, but he can write to them. And he said, I done told you not to have company with fornicators. Now, in our day and time, I don't have any problem with sinners being in church. I was a sinner in church myself.
Right. Yeah, man.
What I do have a problem with, a sinner coming in church and think that they don't have to, give heed to the Word of God, or don't have to worry about the consequences of sin. Hey, listen, if you come here and old Brother Eddie rocks your boat, I just want you to know it ain't old Brother Eddie rocking your boat. Right. I'm just a messenger boy.
Amen.
Hey, listen, when the messenger boy delivers the message, hey, listen, if it rocks your boat, you need to do something with God.
That's right.
I'm telling you, that's God dealing with you.
Yeah.
That's God speaking to you. That's God saying, hey, I'm telling you, buddy, you better do something with that preaching of the Word of God.
Yeah, that's right.
God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He said, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? And you know, God chose that foolishness of preaching to help us as children of God to live righteous, godly, and soberly, and to help us as sinners to find God and get saved.
Yeah.
Paul said, I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators. Now, the reason I read that is they're ordaining people today that are practicing sinners.
Yes.
They're ordaining lesbians and homosexuals. Well, and, you know, that ought not be so. Well, look, I'm not putting nobody down. God loves homosexuals. He loves lesbians. But I'll tell you right now, buddy, woe to the church that ordains them.
Yes.
I'm telling you, first thing I did, I got right with God. I got saved.
Amen.
4 years later, I got counted faithful, and God called me to preach and put me in the ministry.
Right.
And these churches are kind of taking, I guess, the place of God, or somehow taking authority over God. Paul says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators.
Right.
I love homosexuals. I love lesbians. I love drunkards. I love dope addicts. I love whoremongers and whores. I'd love to see them get saved.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
I'd love to help them get saved.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go the extra mile to help them get saved. Now Paul's addressing this in a church way. He said, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for them must ye needs go out of the world. Again, he's warning about having fellowship and bringing sinners in and not dealing with the sin aspect of it.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be 68 next month. I didn't think I'd live to be 40. I don't know what in the world I'm doing still here, but I know one thing. Yeah. While I am still here, I'm going to do what I do for the glory and praise of God.
That's right. Yeah.
Jesus said, you be ashamed of me. And he said, I'll be ashamed of you. I don't want to meet him in shame. I want to meet him in praise and humble adoration.
Yeah.
And say, Lord, thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me.
Yeah. Amen.
But he says in verse 11, but now I have written unto you not to keep company. Listen, if any man that's called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one not to eat. They need to get their heart right with God.
Amen.
And the church needs to get their heart right too.
That's right.
In verse number 6, he mentions about adultery. This is again going on in the church. Now that last one was immorality. If a boy went to bed with his father's wife, is what that's about there in 1 Corinthians.
Yeah.
He says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we'll cut a lot of this for time. Verse 15, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. There's another God forbid there.
Yeah.
See, we're supposed to be holy because He's holy. And he says, verse 16, what? There you go, a question again. Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. And you know, Paul, he putting the finger on the problem here. He says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Free fornication.
Yeah.
Every sin, and get this, that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. That's what I was trying to say a while ago. You're sinning against your own body.
Yeah, that's right.
He says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He's given a stern warning here in Romans chapter 6. Don't continue in sin.
Right.
Come out.
Right.
He said, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord.
Yes.
And I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters. Hold on just a minute, and I'll read that per se from the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? You know, that's what they're doing today. They're kind of melting pot everything together. They're trying to somehow unify everything, I guess. But he says, for ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God, and they shall be my people. He says in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Like I said, the Lord here is addressing sin in the church through Paul writing this Roman epistle here. He says in verse 3, know ye not, that is the big problem. God said my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Right.
Hosea there. And we're supposed to study and show ourselves approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. That's what baptism is. It's a picturistic of dying to yourself and living for Jesus.
Uh-huh.
It's picturistic of the death, burial, and resurrection. That's what baptism is.
That's right.
He says, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You know, we're a new creature. And that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think, verse 17, I believe. But you know what? There needs to be a difference. And I'll expound on that again in a minute because it just came to my mind. But it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Amen.
And you know, they saw the difference. No brother Eddie Wade out there.
Sure they did.
And all our darling sons. I mean, here he is. He ain't telling dirty jokes no more. He ain't cussing no more. Man, he's reading the Bible now, and they catch him turning thanks over his food, bowing his head.
Yeah.
And you know, that change needs to be there.
That's right.
Why I said that is because this comes to my mind when I mentioned that. I think it's Psalms chapter 55. I thank God again for the Word of God. But in Psalm chapter 55, verse 19, it says, I'm just going to read part of the verse because I want to try to get through chapter 6, may not. It says in the middle part of the verse of Psalms 55, verse 19, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. There will be a change.
Amen.
And we should walk in newness of life. In the book of Acts, it talks about they took note of the disciples. They've been with Jesus because it's Christ's life. Romans 6, verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing that our old man, my pastor preached a message on February the 2nd, 2020, has your old man been around? I got that wrote up here at the top of my Bible. But that old man, he said no matter how many times I crucify him, he said he keeps getting up.
Yeah,
knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, like I said, you can do whatever you want to. Just listen. There will be consequences.
Yeah.
I've been to the hospital with people. Tell them not to smoke. Tell them not to do what I did. Tell them not to do. That's kind of sad, but that's a commentary on living a life of sin.
Yeah.
Tell them not to do like I did. I wish they could. I would. I preach against it. But they're going to do whatever they're going to do. But that body will be destroyed if you live a life of sin.
Yes.
Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, I got saved April 27th, 1988. I still have to deal with sin. I get up every morning, Lord, thank you for a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
Thank you for another day. Forgive me my sin.
Yeah.
Wash and cleanse me my sins. Deliver me from evil and temptation. I want to be a blessing, not a burden. I mean, that's a good way to start a day out, is just thanking the Lord and asking for His help.
That's right.
And he says, for he that is dead is freed from sin, and yet I'm still here. And there's a devil down there.
Yeah.
Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe, verse 8, that we shall also live with Him, and we will. I'm looking forward to the day. Hallelujah. I feel like I'm in school.
Yeah.
I know one day I'm going to graduate this life.
Yeah.
And to be absent from the body is to be what?
Present with the Lord.
Yeah, I can't wait to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, glory to God. It says now, knowing, verse 9, that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. I'm not dying no more, Sharon.
No.
You know,
that's
worth a shout right there.
It sure is. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm telling you, I couldn't die if I wanted to.
Uh-uh.
Jesus said, he that believeth in me, in John chapter 11, he said he'll never die. He said, believest thou this?
Yeah.
Even though Mary agreed with him, when she said, yeah, Lord, I think she about half-heartedly. But he said it, Martin said, Karen, he said it, and boy, that makes it even more special.
That's right.
Death has no more dominion over us.
Amen.
Death is... I mean, as far as concerned, it's rest in peace. It's gone.
It's gone.
I've got eternal life. I'm not enduring. I'm enjoying being saved. I'm just telling you, buddy, I'm kind of happy. And Christ, verse 9, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
I like eternal life.
That's right.
Man, I'm telling you, I had a couple of close encounters. I was watching some fool. I looked on the internet and this guy had stole this motorcycle. He's a young guy too, Sister Bonnie. And he stole this motorcycle, and he got the helmet, he had the helmet on, and he's flying in Los Angeles, California, and he's done outrun the guy that owned the motorcycle. He's done outrun the police that's trying to keep up with him, and there's a helicopter over top looking down on him, and he's doing pretty good. I mean, he's passing everything on the highway. Matter of fact, it shows his speed on the camera as they're over top. He's running 130 miles an hour down on two wheels. Now, he's outrun everything but the helicopter.
Right.
But he thinks he's doing pretty good. The last thing he did, Bonnie, was he raised up a little bit and sat down, and then he hit that car head on in that next intersection. And the last thing it shows, he's flying through the air, getting ready to go out into eternity. He looked very young. You see, you can outrun someone that owns what you stole.
Yeah.
You can outrun the police.
Yeah.
But you can't outrun death.
That's right. That's right.
It will catch up with you.
It sure will.
So he says here, likewise reckon ye yourselves, but likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That boy left behind a testimony. Don't do like I did. You know, it's sad that it's the last images of his life. He's flying through the air.
Yeah.
There's people making selfies, fall off a cliff, fall off a train, get electrocuted.
Yeah,
you know, I'm just telling you, buddy, death ain't nothing to make fun of, buddy. Death's a serious matter. I'm glad the Lord took care of that. That hung over my head for 34 years. But I can look death in the face right now and say, hit me the best shot, buddy.
That's right.
I'm just telling you right now, praise God, thank God for Jesus, our Lord and Savior. He's not only greater than death, but he took the keys away from death and hell. Man, if I was somehow end up there, Kelly, he'd go down there and unlock the door and let me out. Amen?
That's right. Get out.
He says, verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Best thing to do is what I do, is either turn it off or change the channel.
Yeah.
I watch TV. You probably watch it too much. I know there hasn't been any great revivals since TV came out. Back when there wasn't nothing but the house of God and people that loved the Lord, that was the greatest thing in town. I mean, evangelists come in, and they come in, I mean, on wagons, throwing bonnets up in the air. You'd think a bunch of Mennonites had showed up. But, you know, that was the most exciting thing, was going to the house of God, singing the songs of God, praising the name of God. That was it. Now, TV kind of, it's been kind of a stumbling block. When I think about TV, I think about in the book of Psalm, it says, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. And even on the computer, and I'm probably on there way too much, they have what they call pop-ups.
Yeah.
And what that is, it's kind of like fiery darts from the devil.
Right.
And all he wants you to do is look. He'll take it from there. But he says here, let not, verse 12 of Romans chapter 6, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. I'll just tell you, it's probably inevitable. If you give a place to the devil, somebody said if you give the devil an inch, he'll end up being your ruler. So, verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. You know, can you imagine that I died April 27th, 1988, and I was dead for like, I don't know, 4 days, and all of a sudden I came back to life? Can you imagine how much gratitude, how much zeal you would have? Well, I didn't have to go through that. I mean, I same as died. Man, I went and looked in the mirror after God saved me. I didn't have no more condemnation, no more guilt. I had the peace of God, the joy of salvation. I went and looked in the mirror expecting, I guess, a halo, but it's still horns, and an old ugly mug looking back at me. But, you know, you're always presented with a choice. He says, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Brother Jerry, he's up here, buddy. And he's going to town unless he breaks a string. And Carolyn's over there, and she's thumping right along with him. I'm over here, my foot's And I'll tell them I can't sing, but I'm making a joyful noise, amen. I got a phone call this week from Brother Bob Malkin up in Ohio. It was a fairly lengthy conversation, but I enjoyed every minute of it. Brother Bob called me. I just got done eating. Couldn't have called me at a better time. He said, "Is now a good time?" I said, "Absolutely." He told me to tell Jerry. He said, "I listen to every one of them songs." He said, "I've learned some of them." He said, He never heard those songs. See, we're down here saturated. He said he never heard any of those. He actually went and bought a Heavenly Highway hymnal. He did. And he said, "Tell Brother Jerry, I love him singing those songs." I said, "Buddy, I'm telling you, I do too."
Yeah, that's right.
But you know, he's yielding his members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And so is Sharon on the piano. And so is Carolyn on the bass. And so is Brother Eddie over tapping that foot.
That's right.
I'm telling you, buddy, hallelujah. Verse 14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you." We've got the advantage over sin.
Uh-huh.
"You're not under the law." Praise God. I never could keep it. "But under grace." Now you look at all these murders going up there in Chicago. These little children being murdered, being shot, everything else. It just takes one. Just takes one. "Thou shall not kill."
Right.
"Thou shall not steal." And you know what? A lot of this could be solved if that had been taught them, like it was me, as a child. It would have helped when it comes to sin. And even though they know better, they're still pursuing a life of sin, and they shouldn't, because sin, when it's finished, brings forth death, James said.
Yeah.
But verse 14, he says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you." We got victory in Jesus. We're not under the law, but under grace. Verse 15 again, here's Paul. "What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid." And you know, you got to deal with sin one way or another. Best thing to do is shut the door on it.
Yeah.
God told Cain, he said, "Sin lies at the door. Don't open it."
Right.
And a lot of people, I think, not only open up the door to sin, I think it said, "Come on in."
You know, the Bible says somewhere, watch what goes through the eye gate.
Yeah.
But there causes a lot of...
That's true.
A lot of sin.
David saw beautiful Bathsheba bathing. That wasn't no accident. That was a setup.
Yeah.
That was a trap. He fell for it.
Yeah.
Called, asked who she was, had her brought to him. Done the unthinkable. Here's the man that was after God's heart. I'm just telling you, sin is lethal to anyone in any capacity. And that you can read Psalms 51. That had an effect on David.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible prayer he prayed there about his... sin with Bathsheba.
Right.
Verse 15, I may have done read this. "What then shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace?" He says, "God forbid." He's just putting sin in perspective. It don't need to have any place in your life. Verse 16, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield your servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Now look, I've got a friend I'm praying for. He's a good preacher, a great man of God, pastor of a church 10 foot tall for God. But he left church one day and had an affair with a young woman, lost his wife, lost his children, lost his church. And I'm praying that he'll do a prodigal, come to himself and say, "I'm going back to the Father's house." I'm praying he'll get back with a Bible back in his hand, back on his knees, praying and serving God again. Don't think that it can't happen. You know what Peter said, "I'll never deny you." And he denied the Lord three times, I think, that night. But anyway, sin's a terrible matter. Verse 17, Paul says, "But God be thanked." And you know what? I do want to thank the Lord. Oh my. When I think of the Eddie Wade... Before he met Jesus, before I got clothed in my right mind, boy, I want to thank the Lord for that day. "But God be thanked that ye were, and I was, the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which delivered you. Hey, I took it hook, line, and sinker. Out to this day, I'm still holding dear. Boy, not only the grace of God, but the Word of God. We're begotten by the Word, but it was the grace that forgave this sinner and saved him, amen, from being, you know, I was already on my way to hell.
Mm-hmm.
I comment a lot with people on the internet, and they say, why would a loving God send anybody to hell? I said, buddy, you're already going to hell. God's just between you and hell trying to keep you from ending up there. And you know, they just want to somehow put the blame on someone other than themselves.
Yeah.
I said, God came down and went through hell just so you could be forgiven and you could be saved and not end up in hell.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they don't want to hear that, but they need to hear that.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus knew no sin, and yet He became sin for us. And He died for the sins of the whole world. Not just mine, but everybody's. There wasn't no other way. Verse 18. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now, that's the normal. That ought to be true in all of our lives. We ought to not have shackles. We ought to not be in bondage. But you know what? I can't be with you all the time. And a lot of people slip around, but God can be with you all the time.
Yeah.
So you might remember a couple named Ananias and Sapphira.
Yeah.
In Acts chapter 5, they thought they'd hoodoo Peter, and they did.
Yeah.
But they didn't hoodoo God.
No,
they both died.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you. Being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. He said, I speak after the manner of men. Because of the infirmity of your flesh. This flesh is weak.
Oh, yeah.
I can't depend on it anyway. Yeah. That's why I pray every morning, Lord, help me today. Help me. Pray every morning.
Mm-hmm.
Ask God to help you.
Amen.
Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to give you strength. You know, the steps of a good man are ordered by
the Lord.
Amen. I got some Bible students in here. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? We need to walk in them.
Amen.
You know what? God's steps never lead in the direction of sin.
Uh-uh.
I know we get in that way every now and then, but God ain't leading it. I can tell you that right now.
Ask God to help you live better today.
Amen, Brother Donnie. The thing that we need to strive to do is humble ourselves on the mighty hand of God.
Yeah.
He said, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanliness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness, unto holiness. Now, like I said, he's sending this letter to a church in Rome. He's just telling them, you know, get serious. Be real. You know, I've seen a lot of fake news and a lot of false things. But you know what? You can be as real as you want to. Somebody said, oh, I'd like to have a closer walk with God. It's simple. Go nigh to God. He'll go nigh to you. You can have as close a walk with God as you want.
Yes, you
now, you're going to have to put some things aside, and you're going to have to pick up some things, but you can have as close a walk with God as you want.
Amen.
If you want it, buddy, I'll tell you right now.
Amen.
You can be bubbling over, bright as a light bulb.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, buddy, you can be Cain and Lynn shouting glory to God all the way through the day.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can be mundane in the gullies and you know, down and out, complaining and murmuring like I've been reading about Israel. I'm on my 19th time through reading the Bible, and I'm reading about them on their way to the promised land, and I'm down there, they ain't got no water, and they're complaining. They ain't got nothing to eat, they're complaining, and God just really proving them to, so they might know that He's the source of everything they need. But we don't need to be complaining. He says, verse 20, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Verse 21, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? You see, nobody looks to get caught. Sin seems kind of okay until you get caught.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my mama, she said, did you get in them cookies? And finally I had cookies all over my mouth. I said, no, mama. And, you know, you get caught.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you got, you know, confrontation, consequences. And she had told me not to get in them, Carolyn. And with her telling me not to get in them, that means I had a law between me and my mom. If she said you can have two, Sharon, I could have got away with two. But you see, I'd done more than two, and also I've been told not to. And she got me by the arm, and I'm talking about I marched across the kitchen there. She's just trying to get through to me. But, you know, I got ashamed because I got caught, but I got the consequences of getting caught too. And every Christian needs to consider this. Paul, no, I guess it was Moses, he said, be sure of this. Your sin will find you out.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to have an affair with sin and get away with it, I'll tell you right now. But he says, for the end of those things is death. Not only will you get caught and be ashamed because you got caught, but the consequences of sin could cut off, like I said, verse 2 of Romans chapter 6, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I've done a lot of funerals.
Yeah.
I remember doing one, Brother Ed, I wept through the whole funeral. It was tough.
Blessing God.
And this guy was my first cousin. He was my dad's sister's son. Ruth was his mother. And I tried. I really tried hard. And he was smoking that dope. And that dope had more hold on him than I did. He come out the house, wanted to borrow my trailer, Brother Jerry. And I said, Steve, you go ahead and borrow my trailer. You can borrow it anytime you want to. And I tried to talk to him about the Lord. He just walked off like I wasn't standing there. And it went on for so long. And one day the phone call came. He was broke down in Indiana. And a guy with a wrecker went up there to tow him home. And they got the truck all hooked up, loaded, ready to come home. And you know what he did, Sharon? He asked that truck driver, he said, can I go back there to my truck, get some stuff out of my truck? He said, I like to smoke marijuana, and I've got some marijuana back there in my truck. Can I go back there and get it? He said, yeah, go ahead. Before he made it to that truck, they were in the emergency lane, and he was on the other side even of the traffic in the emergency lane. And a drunk come down through there. You know, a certain man drew back a bow at venture, smote Ahab. A drunk come down there and hit him before he got to that truck door handle. And he went up in the air, and when he came down and fell on that truck, it busted his head open and he was stone dead. Mm-hmm. His wife asked me, tell me my husband's in heaven. I said, I can't tell you that. I can tell you one thing. I said, get saved one day, you'll know. But I can't tell you that. Sin has consequences.
Yes.
That was a terrible funeral.
Yes, amen.
He said, end of those things is death. Verse 21 of Romans chapter 6. Verse 22. Now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I want to recap. I know we're done here. I want to recap on slipping around sinning. Like I said, the man after God's own heart, David, he had sweet fellowship with the Lord throughout almost all the book of Psalms. Mm-hmm. He was a sweet psalmist. After that encounter with Bathsheba, he kind of concealed it. He's king. Who can speak against the king? But there was a prophet showed up at his doorstop one day. Young prophet named Nathan. He gave him a little old parable, you know, just really to get him to see his own sin. And David got big and mad after he heard this little old parable. And he said, the man that's done this shall surely die. And he shall restore fourfold. And Nathan said, you're the man. The baby that David and Bathsheba had died. Mm-hmm. Nathan told David, he said, you're not going to die. He said, God put away your sin, buddy.
Yeah.
Y'all may not understand this, but God gave us the sure mercies of David.
Yes.
Before this ever happened, God gave David a sure house. David went up there and said, who am I that you give me this, you know, this sure house? And he kind of laid his guard down a little bit. I mean, he was the first one with eternal life was David, mm-hmm. King David. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, Jesus is of the seed of David. Do you notice David didn't die, but that little baby. That one that David wept and prayed and would not eat, would not let no one interrupt him. He never did. He prayed, he wept, he cried. And finally he noticed they was over whispering. And he said, is the child dead? And they said, yeah, David, he's dead. He got up, went shaved, washed himself, sat down to eat. And they said, what's the deal? You wept the whole time the child was dying, now he's dead, you're up. And you're shaving and you're eating and all. He said, while he was alive, I prayed and wept for him. Mm-hmm. But now he's dead. Now listen to what David said. Mm-hmm. Where he is, I'll go.
Right.
But where I am, he cannot come again.
That's right.
Even though that's good, you know, one day David's got to meet this little boy and say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I lived such a wicked life that you didn't get to live your life. Give earnest heed to sin. Don't let it have any place. Father, thank you for this lesson this morning. I pray we'd take it as sober and serious as we can, Lord. And I pray, Lord, we'd apply our hearts, Lord, to live in righteous, godly, and sober. Lord, be a blessing, not a burden. Lord, to set the standard as high as we can. In Jesus' name, we ask your blessing upon those that were able to hear this lesson today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Brother, all right.
Yeah.
Before you close up.
All right.
James Madison is in the hospital with Miss Colby.
All right.
And that's Carolyn and Joanne's and Sharon's and Brenda's brother.
Okay.
And he ain't doing no good at all. Carolyn just
said. Yeah. I talked with Patty just before we left.
Yeah.
And the doctor said that it's not looking good for him. That
he's 82 years old.
Yeah, that's not good neither.
But
because it preys on Evelyn. Yeah.
He does not want to be put on a vent.
Yeah.
He don't know where he's at. He don't even know what year it is. The doctor said they asked if he had failed. They think something's going on with his mind, and said that